Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. I have two of my favorite people on today, which I've been very excited about making this happen. We have the beautiful Amanda, who's joining us from South Africa, and an old colleague of mine and also a client, Carly, who is joining us from Perth. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Before we get down to the full-blown conversation of why we're here, which is around having a conversation around balance and how your relationship with balance has evolved over time, I'm going to start with my favourite question, and maybe we'll start with you, Amanda. Tell us who you are as a human being.
I would say I'm a curator. I love to bring together different theories, different experiences, different ideas, and really pull them together from different sources into something new and exciting and simplified. So really, I love curating a whole lot of different things. I think I'm also a people lover. I'm curious about people on all different levels from all different walks of life. I love engaging with people. I think also a creator. If I think of my workplace, what I'm really doing is working with leaders to try and build inclusive and inspirational type of workplaces where people really want to just show up and do work joyfully and be their best selves. So that's in the workplace. And then in the home space, I create by creating a sense of home, creating a sense of ease and comfort and connection with my four boys and my husband and all the others come into the home.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Carly, what about you? How would you describe yourself as a human being?
Well, firstly, I sit here and I'm inspired by Amanda, who always has the most amazing answers to these types of questions. I am someone who tries to combine a lot in life, whether that's the hobbies, the job, the family, walking the dog and so forth. So I have many different roles and I'm continuously changing the hats on those roles from a worker who contributes to the business to a business leader who's leading people around them to a mother who's caring for their children to a wife who's in partner, husband. And then there's me, and I'm an individual who struggles to find time for themselves but also has my own hopes and dreams and desires as a person.
I love that. There's never a wrong answer to that question. And the answer to the question always changes, which I love. Every time I ask it, it's different. So thank you for sharing who you are as a human being today. Let's get down to, first and foremost, exposing something that I think is really important if we're going to have a conversation around balance. And that is, if you had to give the stage of life that you're in a name to describe it, what would that be and why?
Sure, you give interesting, tricky questions. I think in me and my stage of life now, I would call it actually an expansion stage. I feel I'm in a new horizons kind of a space. And I think that's largely brought on by the fact that my mom died exactly 3 months ago today. Mm-hmm. And really that just turns your world on its head, and it really gives you a new lens to look at things. And I suppose suddenly I realize the buck stops with me and I'm now the elder. And so it's about leaning into that elder position and trying to think about what are the stories I'm wanting to tell? What are the stories that I'm wanting to be part of the culture of my family? What do we want to lean into? And I suppose another part of that, the same kind of expansion is, if not now, when? You know what I mean? With my mom dying and me realizing that, you know, life is short and it can end so quickly. Stop being such a wuss. I don't know if a wuss is an Australian word.
No, it's French.
Step in with bravery, do what you want to do, take the risks. So in my work life, I've been expanding on a lot of new horizons. And I'm really quite excited by a different way of looking at things, a kind of ease, expansion. Those are the kind of words that I'm feeling in this stage of my life, and not so much sweating the small stuff. Just let things be. You know, I'm a very messy person. My house is always, it's full of art. It's full of sunlight, but it's full of mess. And, you know, when the guests come, it's like that mad hurry to just tidy everything and dust the books or whatever. And now I'm just in the stage of, so what? Let it be. I'm a messy person. Come and visit and be shocked internally, but that's who I am. So it's that kind of let it be expansion phase, I feel, that I'm in at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Carly? First thing I would like to say to Amanda that we have a sign in our kitchen. It's in Dutch, so I'll have to translate what it says, but it says that a tidy home is a sign of too much wasted time.
I'm going to make myself a sign, put it on my front door.
Oh man, I'm feeling exposed because my house is really fucking tiny.
Too much time, Penny.
Too much time. That's so funny. I love that though, Carly. It's true though, right? Like I don't disagree with it.
Yeah. I think I'm at the phase it's an end of an era. So at the moment I have one child who's about to finish high school. I have a mother who is 85, but in the last stages of her life. I am in the last 2 weeks of a role that I've held for probably the last 5 to 15 years, depending on how you define a role. It's really that phase of having to let go as a mother, which is a big thing, having to get comfortable and accepted of what it is that I had achieved in those areas. What have I achieved in my relationship with my mother? What have I achieved in my relationship with my sons? And what have I achieved in my job? And then turning the page and going, so what's next? What's next from what does my life look like for me? And what's important and how do I pursue that?
That resonates with me. Exactly how I feel too. That's beautiful. And I've also got a son starting today his final, final year exam. So we've both got our sons doing that.
It kind of sounds like you're both straddling two worlds. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've still got a foot in the old world and then you've got this other foot that's just gradually stepping into what's next. And it's interesting because I've had this conversation in a few podcasts lately around life stage, and I feel like my life stage, I was saying previously, I was in the zero fucks stage of life where I'd let go of what other people think and sort of unapologetically owned myself. And I feel like now this week that life stage has evolved into, I would call it a stage of surrender and a stage of self-compassion. And it's almost like this, I feel like I'm stepping or returning back to my essence, which is not something I would have even spoken of. Well, I don't think I've ever said that. And I think a lot of this has come off the back of the trauma therapy training that I've been doing, in that understanding that our traumas are what shapes us and what takes us further away from our wholeness and suppress our ability to really be in our essence. And I feel like this work is stripping back the layers and allowing me to be the person that I was born to be. You know, and this idea of surrender and compassion speaks to what I'm hearing from both of you. I feel like I'm standing in an age where I've realized that my parents are not going to be here forever. You know, I've been with my aging disabled dad for the last 2 weeks and realizing that his decline is getting quicker and that that's going to require a lot more support. So I kind of, it's an interesting stage when you step into that territory because it's new, and I feel this straddling of two worlds that you two speak of. And it's this, you know, the familiarity of the old world and the knowing, and then the uncertainty and the excitement of what a new world presents, right? So I'm interested, off the back of this life stage, what is it based on the stage of life that you're in and what you've identified, what is it that you want to give your energy to based on this stage? Like, what are the things that are most important to you? If you had to pick, say, three, what are the three most important things to you that you want to give your energy to based on where you're currently at?
I'm going to start by saying that it's already about building that legacy. A legacy that I want to leave. And that's coming up in my mind. So what legacy do I want to leave my children? How do I make sure that they go into the world, because my influence on them is waning? So what do I want them to remember and be as adults? And that's around being a good person, and knowing right from wrong. So there's a legacy there, and making sure that I use these last wisps of being able to shape my children into being a good person. And that legacy theme runs through my work as well. So I'm moving on. What's the legacy that I'm leaving? Have I built the people in my team? Have I built a positive culture? And there's also legacies in terms of family. So this year I spent a lot of time with my sisters and my mother. And where did we leave that family? What are the next steps there? That's kind of the focus for me at the moment, is where's the legacy? And if I had more time, it would be, how do I build the next phase of my life? How do I build those hobbies? How do I build those friendships and those relationships that I'm going to need in the next phase of my life? I wish that was my priority, but it doesn't get much time.
I'm going to come back to that, Kylie, because it's a beautiful segue to where I want to go next. Amanda, what about you?
So what I'm really focusing on now, which has been quite a while now, I would say this year or maybe, let's say it's this year, is I've really been saying to myself, follow the juice. And by that I mean just lean into things that give me juice, that I feel juicy, that I feel excited by, that I feel stretched by, that I feel connected and engaged with. So all the time I've been doing that, and particularly with my heavy workload at work, I used to, sit, let me just try and clear my decks for tomorrow, and it never worked. You do so much, you work way into the night and you think you cleared your decks, but tomorrow brings its whole new things. What I've started to do, instead of trying to clear my decks or pull down on that to-do list or whatever, I've just said to myself, follow the juice and lean into anything that's just easy and expansive. And it's been quite interesting to me because juice, for instance, is not for me in admin. And so, when I'm following the juice, the admin sort of goes a little bit by the wayside. But what I do find is that suddenly I wake up invigorated one day and I think, I'm just going to clip this admin, get it behind me. And I'm enthused by the admin to get past it. So nothing gets left aside, even though I'm just following the juice. So, I suppose that's what I'm doing. I'm leaning into things that fill my heart.
I love that. I'm going to steal that, Amanda. That's a good one. Follow the juice. And I love it. It translates into juicy, right? Because that sounds a bit lush, which I love the word lush.
I love the word juicy. Yes, it's the same.
Oh, okay. You were saying, Kylie, so we're talking about what we want to give our energy to, and you were saying hobbies and, more joy were important for you, but they don't get the time. So what I want to have a conversation about now is balance, because you guys both did the Balance Collective at the start of this year, and that's where, we all connected and had this magical experience. And I think it's really interesting, even just hearing you guys speak now, how, if I asked you what your stage of life was when you started that, I think it would be quite different to what I'm hearing now in terms of the conversations we would have had. So I'm really interested to hear, how do you define balance?
So for me, balance puts expectations on me that I don't like. So even that expression, work-life balance, yeah. I used to always use it. I ran workshops on finding work-life balance. But then suddenly I thought, that shortchanges work, because it's almost like work is drudgery, and as soon as work's over, life can begin. It's almost like work is unimportant and you get through it. And meanwhile, for me, work is so much part of my juice. I love it. It nourishes me. It replenishes me. Mm-hmm. So I started to realize that even in that work-life balancing, it was a misnomer. And I started playing with like play, oh, I'm off to play, boys. And when I went to work, you know, or I'm off for some nourishment, or, you know, just taking away the word work, which had a heaviness. And so for me, it was the same with the word balance. So I don't use balance in my own head. I see my life is in terms of ebb, flow, and flood. And sometimes, often, my life is in flood and everything is on top of me and work is coming fast. Money might be coming in fast, but stress is coming in high, and that's flood. And I need to just remind myself that's okay, because there's going to be an ebb time. And in the past, when it was ebb, in other words, not enough clients coming in on the work front, not enough money coming in on the work front, I used to get a stress and a panic. And now I recognize that time is just to center and then get back into flow, and then you can handle the flood better. So really, I am much more comfortable now that my life is in ebb, flow, flood. And often work gets very pressurized. So I feel that I spend a lot of time in flood, and I have to consciously carve out ebb time, because no one's going to do it for me, because I'm the you know, it's my company and I need the company. No one's going to say to me, Amanda, go and take some time off. You deserve a good holiday. Mm-hmm. I have to carve in and consciously say to myself, look, this is fast going. It's late nights. It's hectic. Don't worry. You're in flood. We'll mark a time and keep to my promise. I was very good in the past of not keeping to my promise, saying, just finish this proposal and then you can have a good break. And then I just didn't. The proposal's out, but just do this. And so it went and so it went. And I was relentless and I promised myself things that I never delivered on. And so now I'm much more conscious of honoring my promises to myself and really saying, when this half hour's up, I'm taking my 5-minute holiday. Sometimes it can just be a 5-minute holiday, which means just go and sit in the sun with a drink with a straw in, for example. It can be a short thing. It doesn't have to be a whole week of holiday. And sometimes it is a whole week of holiday. I killed myself trying to find balance in previous years because I was so desperately trying to get half work. This is how I saw it. Half work, half life, you know, home, family, friends. And I kept thinking, I'm smart enough. Why can't I get this right? You know, if I just work smarter, not harder. And then, but I am working smart. How can I work smarter? And till I suddenly realized it's an illusion. This thing of the search for enough time is futile, because as soon as the time is cleared, more things will fill it. I almost see it like a torus or a fountain. You know, it comes up through the center, it spreads out. But just when you think you're going to have nothing to do, it comes up again. And I can sulk about that and resist it and complain and say, bloody hell, I've never got enough time for family, or I've never got enough time for hobbies. Or I can celebrate that and say, yep, you know, there's a limit of resources here, and the resource is time. And that's great. Let me choose more wisely. Let me see where I can find that juice in the limited time. Stop kicking my heels about the restriction of time, of limited time. And yeah, just celebrate it and do what you want to do that day and find the juice in it.
Hey there, thought I'd press pause for a moment and ask you, do you feel like you're operating in robot mode and like no one's getting the best of you? You're desperate for balance, but prioritizing self-care and reigniting your spark feels selfish and compounds guilt. If the answer is yes, the Balance Collective was made for you. The Balance Collective is my 10-week live group coaching program designed to empower you to reconnect with yourself, your energy, and your joy so that you can start to feel alive again. Together, we'll use my proven psychology-backed framework to reignite your spark and empower you to show up unapologetically in life as the woman you long to be. Register now via the link in show notes or simply go to thebalancecollective.au. I'd love to see you on the inside.
And I love that you speak to this idea, and this is like, if you look to the dictionary for a definition of balance, it speaks to everything in life being in equilibrium. And this is why I think balance is bullshit, because it's like every woman I speak to, it's like never have they experienced every aspect of their life in equilibrium. And it's why I think a defined stage of life is so important, because that then helps us come intentionally into how we use the finite resource that is time to say, what do I want to give my energy to? because not all things can be equal across all aspects of our life. It's just, it's like you say, it's elusive for a reason because it's impossible. It's exhausting.
And also, sorry, I'd love to hear your answer too, Kylie, but I also just think it comforts me. It lowers my expectations when I realize that ebb and flow is not just in time, but it's in like relationships. So I might be having a flow in work and therefore my connection with my husband might ebb for a while, or my connection with my hobbies or connection with my friends. And that's okay. You know, I used to panic and think, oh, you know, I'm spending too much time working or I'm not spending enough time working. Now I say to myself, it's fine. You've got a flow in work. You've got an ebb in relationships right now. Make sure that just now you're going to flow in relationships and ebb in work. You know, so I just play with that and it calms me as opposed to making me feel me on. You're not spending enough time with your boys. You're such an absent mother. You know, I can beat myself up about that. Or I can recognize, let me create flow with my boys for a while and let other things ebb.
I was thinking about this concept of balance and particularly like my man, is it the life work-life balance? You know, we're always chasing life-work balance. And in the past, what that has meant for me is I have to be efficient at work in order to do what I need to do, and then I need to come home and do everything that I need to do in the mothering space, whether that's cooking dinner, washing the clothes, cleaning the bathrooms, walking the dog, whatever it is. And the reality is that that's just balancing two roles. It's not all balance. And one of the things that I remember that something that you said, Penny, which was, at the end of the day, you need to say to yourself, I have done enough. I am enough. Mm. And I can't tell you how many times I've repeated that this year, where I got to the end of the day, I've looked at my, you know, to-do list and was like, I'm not even close to being done. It's like, you know what, today, that's enough. Mm. And the other aspect that comes into that is what gives me energy.
Mm.
So one of the things that I have consciously done is reframed, and it's been like Amanda reframed the ebb and flow. I have reframed the time that I go to the gym, not as here's something on my to-do list, it's a chore that has to be done. It's a time for me to replenish. It is my time. It's my time to do that. And making sure that I carve out those me times. And it might be a bit selfish, but understanding that me as an individual also needs time and attention in order to be able to work and live in the world that I inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these cartoons where they say, you know, when your tank is empty, you've got nothing to give. So it's about refilling that tank and finding those aspects that give you energy. So not dissolving into a screen or Netflix for 2 hours, but finding what is going to give you positive energy. Is that sitting by the pool reading a book? Is it taking the dog for a walk? Is it going in and getting a pedicure or simply having a coffee with your hubby? What is it that gives you energy? And by pouring myself into those, it helps me find the balance. So it's not about doing nothing. It's not about sitting down and doing nothing. It's about balancing the activities that use my energy with those that give me energy.
So you just touched on something that I think is very interesting, because every time I talk about recharging batteries and giving back to yourself, professional women like yourselves, the word selfish is one of the first words that falls out. And it's a feeling, and it's a feeling that is pervasive. And I think it's really interesting that women feel selfish giving to themselves. When the nature of, you know, often, especially mothers, is, you know, to be giving constantly, but that giving is to everybody else. And I heard a beautiful quote the other day, which is, when a mother flourishes, a whole family flourishes. And so when I look at that quote, I think to myself, how is it selfish to recharge your batteries? I would say it's selfless, because it's like putting your own oxygen mask on first. Because to your point, Kylie, how can you give to others when there is nothing to give? I'm curious about, if we go deeper in this path of balance, I'm really curious, given you, the stage of life that we are in, and we're all around similar ages, if you had to write a letter to balance today based on your relationship with balance over the years, what are some of the things that you would say to balance with your wisdom?
Well, I think I would actually say thank you. I would say to Balance, thank you, Balance, because you've actually been an inspiration. You've been a stretch goal. It's something that, you know, I aspire to. And if I didn't have that kind of Balance sort of teasing me, winking on the horizon as a possibility that I can perhaps reach in the future, I would lead a very narrow life, because my narrow life would be work, 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 go and sit down and watch Netflix with the family. Next day, work, 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 watch Netflix. You know what I mean? That's that kind of boredom, that kind of one stream existence would exist if I didn't have the allure of finding balance, which brings, it means there's a rich life waiting. There's more to life than work and Netflix. There's a whole lot of different avenues to explore. And that's what Balance is saying to me and reminding me of when I get into that headspace of just being on autopilot. It's inspiring me to look for other layers, look for other richnesses, look for other avenues to express yourself in. Yep, it's without that kind of image of balance or perfect ebb and flow, my life would be the poorer for it.
Mm. What about you, Carly? What would you say to balance?
I had a very different approach. My approach to balance would be almost, so the words that came to mind was, you need to get real. It's not that I'm not going to attain this balance. It's going to be imperfect. I'm not going to be able to achieve everything that I should be achieving. And for so many years, I have felt like I fail on all accounts because I put these aspirations up, say, I will be the best that I can be. I will be the best that I can be at work. I will be the best mother. I will be the best daughter, the best sister, the best wife. I will be, you know, the best friend. And the reality is I won't. I will fail on most things.
I love it. It's not,
I can't. It's not like I need to balance those responsibilities. It's that the words come to mind are more about being compassionate with myself. I'm not going to be able to do everything. You know, I'm a professional woman, and I have a lot of, particularly when the kids are in primary school, a lot of the other mothers had no job. And I was not going to be the one who was going to be able to come and spend the Tuesday morning hanging up bunting for the school fete. That wasn't me. I wasn't going to be the one who was going to contribute. So understanding that I'm not going to be everything to everyone and that that's okay. Yeah, so what would I tell balance? Get real. Because reality is different. And it's not perfect. And it is failing, and it's getting comfortable with failing and then choosing the priorities. What is it that you need to focus on right now? And it might not be balance. And I love the concept of ebb and flow. There may be weeks where you really need to focus on the work because there's lots of clients, deadlines and so forth. But there may be other weeks where you really need to focus on the children, the dog, or simply unwinding.
You know, I love what you say in terms of just giving ourselves permission in a way, you know, giving us, not putting so much pressure. I think that's how I've grown in the kind of relationship to balance arena. Even that, I know I would feel guilty working, you know, I was also always a professional mom, working and feeling guilty that I'm shortchanging my boys. And then along came the expression quality time. I started reading about it and then thinking, oh, okay, great, quality time.
another to do.
And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I'm not giving quality in this moment. You know what I mean? And now I dropped quality time. It's not about spending quality time with people. It's about presence. It's about just absolutely all I demand of myself. So if I'm going to spend time with my friends with a glass of wine, don't be worrying about the deadlines. Just drop them and be present. And that's the sum total of what I'm now, the expectations that I have to get out of my head and into the moment. Whether it's with the boys, and if we are just dropping on the bed and just chatting about nothing, don't have to define it as quality time or we need to get some kind of inspiration or motivation or life lessons in this moment. It's just be absolutely present to what you're feeling at that moment. So that really has helped me, because what I'm thinking about is that with all this time being not enough time to go around, what really gives you a sense of accomplishment is For me, it's about, was there value in that time? Does it feel like it was well spent? Does it feel like, you know, it was good for me? I was present in that moment. And if I can tick that box, those moments built together over a long time will lead to time well spent, will lead to me feeling satisfied about how I used my time.
Oh, I love both perspectives. And it's just, and this is the other thing, right? I feel like there's no one size fits all in this domain. I think the most important thing for us is to define what balance looks like for us. Interesting, because if I look at where I am now at 48, I always forget how old I am. The older I get, the less I care. I feel like I would say to balance, you've given me permission to let you go because you're not a friend that I want to have. I've spent so many years chasing you, and the more I chase you, the more elusive you become. And I realize it's because you and I are not a match. And for me, I feel like what makes more sense is this concept of harmony. Like, what does it look like to inject these beautiful micro moments of harmony into my days and knowing what they look like? So that, to your point about ebb and flow, I don't have to have this perfect combination, but I know that if it's like a really good recipe, if I just have a couple of those micro moments in each day, and it doesn't matter when they happen, where I can make them happen, that's what makes me feel, like you say, juicy. That's what makes me feel more grounded and, to your point, more present. And I think the other thing that balance has gifted me is self-compassion. And this is only something that's come into my vocabulary in the last probably 6 months since studying the trauma therapy, is this beautiful question of asking myself when I do feel like shit, or I'm not enough, or I'm not doing enough, of saying, what would self-compassion look like for me today? Because we're so good as mothers, as nurturers, and I know you guys, we've spoken about this a lot, you know, we're so good at being compassionate to the needs of others and so shit at doing it for ourselves. And that simple question of what would self-compassion look like for me today, it has changed my life. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what changed my life was your permission. This was in the collective we did earlier this year. It was permission to be selfish. You gave me permission to be selfish. I've never had that. But what does selfish look like? Selfish looks like, you know what? I am going to do 4 gym sessions in the week, not 3, because I feel great when I do a gym session. So because I want to, I'm adding an extra gym session in. Selfishness looks like me saying, even though my work is not done, bugger it, I'm going for a walk in the sunshine.
Divide.
I have never had that. Almost, it's internal, right? I have not allowed myself to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I've always put the needs of others ahead. That is truly a gift, that I am now allowing myself to be selfish and not thinking of it as a negative thing.
And I'll be a better mother, a worker, a better leader as a result of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Exactly. I was going to say that you get from going to gym on that day. Like, I do dancing, and I try and do it 7 days a week. I start my day with dance, but it usually ends up being 4 or 5 days a week. But, yeah, it just sets the tone, and, you know, it really does. I've also got past the idea of it being selfish. It's just a necessity, and it just puts you in touch with the joy for the day.
Mm.
Mm. Penny, you said it's such opposing views and we must find the view of balance, you know, that works for us. What I'm feeling is that my view and Penny, what you shared, and Kylie, what you shared, all of those are my views of balance. In other words, I get tired of the binary. You know, balance almost acts like it's just one or the other.
Yeah.
And for me, balance is so I love the addition of harmony. I love the idea of Kylie, of you saying to balance, you know, get real. You know, stop acting like you're attainable when you aren't. Stop with this bullshit. I love all of those views of balance. They all work together. So it's a big and for me, and a big exploration on all of those.
I love and rather than but. I always love and because it's adding, right? So you would have done improv, Amanda, I'm sure, at some stage, no? Have you ever done improv?
No, I haven't, but I've never done it, but I love that, you know, don't say no. I've read up a lot about the rules and playing with them, but I've never actually done it. I'm too much of a wuss.
No, I did level one a few years back, and oh gosh, I reckon they should teach improv in school, and they should also teach it in corporates. But it's this one of the simple rules is, rather than, we're very good at saying but when someone has a perspective, and you know, improv is all about yes and, rather than but, because it completely changes the conversation and is about adding to a perspective rather than detracting from it, which I think is beautiful. So that's why I just picked that up from what you were saying.
A Facebook on improv. I can't remember what the title is. You know the comedian Tina Fey. And I use those life lessons in corporate, because it is about saying and, never saying no, embracing the risk of just going with it, seeing where it takes you. You know what I mean? There's lovely rules. She gives 10 rules for improv, and they so translate into life, into family, into business. So yeah, one day I'll get out there and try improv myself.
So, ladies, one piece of advice for anyone chasing the elusive balance. Kylie, that was a big sigh.
I'm inviting you to go first.
Kylie, you have to tell us what went through your head.
What went through my head is, give to yourself first. To some extent, balance, you know, there's been ups and downs in life, but it feels like, it, particularly those flood times where there's so much, it's easy to get swept away. So when considering balance, give to yourself first, and then whatever's left, you can balance out.
Oh, I like that.
I think I would say stop identifying so strongly with being busy. Stop feeling that that gives you a kind of a power and a purpose just because you are so busy. Drop that and, you know, sort of divorce yourself from busyness giving you a kind of a status. And just breathe in the ease, the choice, the selfishness, as you said, the juice, as I said earlier. Really try and follow that rather than the busyness.
Oh, wow. I'm going to add to that in what Kylie mentioned earlier. And it's, so many women get to the end of the day and the work is never done. And I love this concept of shutting my laptop and I look at the screen that's gone blank and say, you are enough and that is enough. So my little gift is trying that mantra at the end of the day to signal to your brain, and there is a truth in this in terms of the science, to signal to your brain that you're done and that it's okay to start again tomorrow. So I'll leave our listeners with that. Thank you so much, ladies. It's an absolute joy to have you both back in the same space and just hear your beautiful perspectives.
And thank you for having us.
I guess it's a joy. Yeah, I love it. I wish we could continue. Now let's go on to grieving and life and other topics.
We'll do one on aging parents. And thanks, ladies.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you, Kylie. Lovely to see you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.